Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Fab Cave in Maguanago, Wisconsin. Fab Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Fab Guy with a Phone podcast. I work out. Here's your host, the aforementioned Fab Guy with a Phone himself, Rick Goreski. My co-host, Steve Wellman. Steve, thanks for coming aboard, buddy. I can't believe we're back in the saddle. This is crazy.
This goes well. I enjoy doing this.
Well, I'm so excited to be back. Gave it a test run, and I'm glad I did a test run, and this entire show is just a test show to fill the chops to the casting of the pod across the World Wide Web. Already butchered the real start of the show and had to switch computers. So I'm really glad that we're giving this a test run. But how's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. Can't wait to get out and do some things. But I get the severity and the consequences of what we're doing. So just waiting patiently.
Well, why don't we just start by going back over the past two years or so, and why don't you just tell everybody what you've been doing? Maybe a month-by-month breakdown, if you have one.
you want me to go through 24 to 36 descriptions of what I've been doing?
Well, why not, man?
Go to sleep.
What are those things called, like NFL 360 or ESPN? Deep, in-depth views that they do?
30 for 30 or whatever?
Yeah, let's do that. So seriously, I can say, just to start off with like a ridiculous story. So we've been doing, of course I'm working from home, like a lot of people. And in case anybody from work's listening, I truly am putting in a full day, even more so. We ordered a dumpster this past week because, of course, the big stimulus checks came out and all that stuff. And I had a big pile of old shingles I was going to get rid of. So I got the giant dumpster out there and we fill it up. And, you know, you got the giant dumpster here. So, of course, you're going to find stuff around the house that you've been waiting to get rid of. And we've lived here for 20 years. So, of course, I've got junk that I moved in with that I never even touched. And so finally, we're getting into... Gosh, I think it was like Saturday, and we're almost done filling this thing up, and the whole family's working, the kids are working, and then comes this report that there's like an asteroid hurling towards Earth. I was so pissed. I was like, seriously? I busted my ass all week. Really? Now an asteroid's coming? Why couldn't you come the week before? That I didn't have to do all this work and have to go and lift all this stuff and do all this. So... the lesson learned is if an asteroid's going to hit, you know, order your dumpster maybe afterwards.
Order
or
early.
Far in advance.
It's kind of like the clean underwear scenario that, you know, your mom would always tell you, you know, if you're going to, the planet's going to get hit by an asteroid, you want to make sure you got all those old shingles out of there.
Man, so the NFL draft happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to, you know what, I'll jump right in. Like, we always talk about different topics, and sometimes they're a little controversial. I am so sick and tired of the sob story, the, you know, Little Joey, so what a dream come true. When he was a kid, his dog only had one leg, and he would run around the yard with that dog, but he couldn't run that fast. And I'm just so tired of these stories. And it's like they had them all queued up, and they had to use them, so ESPN just keeps ramming them in. And are you annoyed by that too, or?
Well, you know what? This is I kind of adopted this philosophy last year, but this year was entirely. I followed the draft through a ticker. I did not watch a single minute of it. And it's
really?
For that reason, partially. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I probably watched 5 minutes of it just because I kind of wanted to see what it would look like to be looking in a coach's webcam I want to see what somebody looks like in a webcam that isn't, 25 years old and female. I'm just kidding. but yeah, it's the same thing. I'm tired of the two things that bother me the most that have been coming out this year or the last couple of years is your sob stories and that constant people, like Mel Kiper's and those guys all saying, oh, this guy left on the board and he's the best. And then somebody picks somebody else and is like, okay, well, this guy's going to be next because he's the best. And the next team picks somebody else and is like, well, this is the guy for this team. It's just like, you can't predict that stuff, and stop just ramming the stuff down our throats. And I just got tired of listening to the commentaries and the sob stories. So, yeah, I just basically had a ticker going on my computer, and it would tell me who just picked, who was up, who just picked, who's up, who just picked, who's up. So
first of all, layoff Mel's awesome. I mean, the hair, the pumpkin pie, the guy is fantastic. He is one of the reasons why I love the NFL draft. I actually, growing up, would watch the NFL draft. I haven't had enough. No way. The guy's fantastic.
It's funny that you mentioned that he's pumpkin pie. He is exactly like pumpkin pie, man. Thanksgiving morning, you smell that pumpkin pie cooking. You're like, man, I can't wait till the meal's done. Give me that pumpkin pie. You eat your first piece of pumpkin pie. You're like, oh, that's so good. Give me another piece. And by the time you get halfway through that, you're like, man, that's too much pumpkin pie.
I used to buy the Kiper Guide religiously. In fact, in that giant cleanup that I was telling you about, I found two boxes that are just filled with old Kiper Guides and magazines from football, of course. Seriously,
As an analyst and a data miner, he's excellent. What he does professionally, he's very good at. I just can't watch
him do it
all the time, and I just cannot watch him do the draft. It just kills me.
Now I want to have a job title that's called data miner. That's just awesome. Digging for those data, those nuggets of data. Mel's awesome, though. I miss his guide, the Blue Book. I learned a ton reading those, and I really do miss him. But back on to what you were talking about, watching the draft through kind of a ticker, I've begun doing that. A couple years back, it was actually the year that really started to push me was when it was the Matt Leinart, Vince Young year, where they had him walking out like models on a catwalk. I was getting so pissed off. I was like, what are you doing? It's like 90% of the guy, 90% of your audience or more is men. No, I don't want to watch this guy walk the catwalk. Yeah, right. Yikes. I said Fred is playing in the background.
I'm too sexy for my flat brim cap.
Well, and it escalated too. We're ripping on football. We're ripping on the broadcast, which I'm sure a lot of people are. But it escalated, if you recall. I think it was Bo Ryan at the NCAA, the basketball tournament, when Bo Ryan used to go see the games with his dad every year that his dad had passed on, and he won this, Wisconsin was marching forward, and I believe they, can't remember if they clinched a berth to the Final Four or the champion, and they just kept, sticking, they couldn't get the mic in his face fast enough. Your dad just died. How do you feel about it? Your dad who you used to watch this game with every single time, and now he's not here, and tell us what you think about that. It was just so over the top. And I think just broadcasting in general needs to just lay back, lay off of it, stop trying to create the story and let the story be the story. I mean, every person that comes through that draft has worked hard. You're not going to find anyone who's drafted. There are only seven rounds, even the undrafted free agents. I mean, the amount of work that it takes to get where they are and the obstacles they've overcome are incredible. But yes, there are some stories that are fully worth talking about. I love the wheelchair league. I guess you didn't watch it. So did you read about it? Do you know about this?
No, not at all.
So as much as I'm not liking the crap, I love this. They basically, the NFL is putting together in conjunction with disabled athletes, they're putting together a wheelchair football league. And they're going to modify the rules a little bit. And people that are in wheelchairs are going to play. And I think that's actually really cool, and I'll watch it. I'll absolutely watch it. There was a movie, and I don't remember. Gosh, dang, I'm going to probably butcher this, but there was a movie where there were two actors, and one of the guy was like a former quarterback that had gotten paralyzed, and he was in a wheelchair, but he could move from the waist up. And then there was this other guy who's blind, and they got it. They like did this bet with a couple country hicks, and you know, the blind guy like ran a route down the street, and the wheelchair dude kind of evaded a pass rush and launched the ball up right on the money into the dude's hands. God, I just can't remember the name of the movie, but it was an awesome movie. And I actually think that might be cool. The funniest thing, though, when I was reading the article, is they say, well, you have to stay in your chair, you know, for the safety of the players. I'm thinking, you know, what do you want them to do? So they can't dive? I mean, if they want to lay out and get a ball, I don't know if they're expecting some people of different varying disabilities. So you see a wheelchair and sometimes you think the person can't walk, but I'm guessing that's what it is, that some people might have the ability to, you know, maybe grab their good leg and push off or something like that to get a little extra edge. But I think that's actually really cool. There are a lot of guys, yeah, like veterans from war that are going to be taking part in this. So I'll be watching. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said,
so what else?
Take a look at the wheelchair league. Huh?
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't mind that. Really, I am kind of, I wonder how many other guys are that are just kind of sick of that are moving more to just kind of having it on in the background or just watching a ticker to see what the picks are. But, you know, you and I talked about this to talk in a little. Well, just to bring it more into something more, maybe more interesting for people. When it came to the draft, I had talked about how, you know, it was a very good draft for skill players. They talked about it being one of the best drafts in quite some time for wide receivers. Very good running back in this draft amongst other positions and players. But I was telling you how, you know, when you go through it and you look at it, it's like, man, I'm almost a little bit disappointed because a lot of the players that went, the big name players, for example, you had Jerry Jeudy goes to Denver. Well, they already have Cortland Sutton. You know, they got Noah Fant. They just signed Melvin Gordon. Now, that doesn't mean it's bad. You know, Lamb goes to Dallas. And you're looking at it and you're like, ah, they already got Cooper. They got Ezekiel Elliott. They got Gallup. So these are really good offenses. These are great players. And it's not to say that these players will not be successful, but in your heart, you're going, oh, it would have been so cool if, you know, go to a team that has like no receiver, like Henry Ruggs went to Oakland. Well, he'll be the main guy. I love it. From a fantasy football standpoint, you're like, oh, that's what I want to do with my dynasty team. I can tell that'll be the guy, or at least he's going to get the chance. You know, the other guys look at their opportunity and they're going to be really good, but did you notice anything like that or have any comments about that?
Well, no, but you remember, I mean, I've been doing fantasy football forever, and I don't remember the exact year it happened, but a revelation had come upon me many, many moons ago where sometimes the number two receiver in an offense is at least as good, if not a better pick, than the number one guy. The number one guy tends to get a lot of double coverage and stuff like that, and that opens up the second receiver. I believe it was Peerless Price and Eric Moulds, Buffalo. So then when it first just dawned on me that, you know, Eric Moulds was clearly number one, but Peerless Price was a guy that was scoring handedly. You know, not as well as Moulds, but, you know, if you couldn't get, you know, two or three of the top wide receivers, go for that number two guy that flanks a solid number one, as opposed to going for these number one rookies that are going into a good situation. And you pointed out to me several times that positions like wide receiver and tight end, it typically takes a couple of years for those guys to develop to the pro game. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule, obviously, but by and large, you know, it takes time for guys to, you know, adapt to the speed of the NFL and the skill set of the corners and safeties that they'll be facing. So, obviously, with, you know, I'm in several different leagues, so drafts will be coming up within imminently, you know, next 4 to 6 weeks. So I'll be doing my research. I think what's really going to be tough, Rick, is the fact that these rookies can't get in any kind of camps or anything. So we don't know. We won't get any report on how they are actually performing on the professional level. That's what has me a little concerned.
Major side question. Pringles or Cheetos? You're going to eat one snack right now, Pringles or Cheetos?
Right now or for the rest of my life?
No, just right now.
What, regular Pringles?
Well, that's rather dramatic for the rest of your life.
And what happens if you're not cheating? It's the old saying, is eating a taco cheating on your diet, or is going on a diet cheating your taco? I don't know. I think I might go for Cheetos right now.
See, you're going to go for Pringles. Well, I love Pringles, but I think right now I'd probably have some Cheetos. Yeah. But back to what we were saying with the players, I think what I'm doing is more, and I think a lot of people could probably relate to this if they're not putting it into words, if they get to their dynasty drafts, they're going to feel this way a little bit, in the sense that, you know, DeAndre Swift goes to Detroit. Well, gosh dang it, they have Kerryon Johnson, and Johnson's a very good talent. So, dang it, you'd really love it if there was just one guy there. Jonathan Taylor goes to Indianapolis. Well, they have Kevin Mack.
Marlon Mack. And you know what's so funny, too, and I won't mention the establishment that does this all the time, but there's one establishment that anytime somebody, such and such a team picked up a tight end in the seventh round, so this Pro Bowl tight end now has competition.
the competition. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I'm saying something, and there's something to this, because I'm going to keep reading a few more of these names, and you'll see what I mean. So Cam Akers, he goes to the Rams. Well, the Rams just got Devery Henderson last year. They have Brown right now. You got the Ravens take Dobbins. Dobbins is a great player. They already had Hill. You know, the Packers take Dillon. Well, they had Williams and Jones. You just keep going down the list, and you run into this, and it's so frustrating because you're like, someone is going to make the right pick. Someone's going to pick the right player, and the situation is going to turn out. And for every one that turns out, there's going to be two or three that are just flat committees or just don't pan out at all. So I just saw a lot of that in this draft from a fantasy perspective.
But I think a lot of times what happens, especially now with the overabundance, it seems, of players moving through free agency, I think a lot of teams' draft strategies are rooted in who can we get to replace this guy when he leaves us? And you bring up the example of the Green Bay Packers. Next year, they're going to have to decide on the future of Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And if you recall this last year, they pretty much had to go out and get a grocery store bagger running back to come in when Aaron Jones went down because, you know, they have really nobody to back up Jamal Williams. So I'm thinking to myself, this pick that they got is in preparation for the fact that they won't have Jones and Williams next year. They want to have that solid backup. I don't know, maybe Dexter Williams gets hit by lightning and becomes smarter. I don't know. Maybe next year's draft they pick up another running back. But I think, you know, you have to look at the fact that when some of these guys, especially wide receivers, who are, who tend to be the divas of the NFL lately, you know, they get out of their rookie contracts and they're looking to go to the next place for the highest amount of money. So you always got to be thinking about not necessarily whether or not, you know, you're putting more gasoline on a fire or if you're just making sure you have more gasoline in the tank.
You do have to stack the cupboard, but like I said, there are so many guys that it's just going to create tough decisions, and so be it. That's why you study, and well, that's why you look up the players, and someone's going to hit, someone's going to miss. Happens all the time.
And the NFL is so fluid, Rick, and I remember having this conversation to you. We had this almost exact conversation when Christian McCaffrey was drafted by the Panthers, and you thought, oh, my God, that could have been the worst situation that guy could have ever gone to. They had Jonathan Stewart. Cam Newton was on the top of his game, so he was doing more of the running, especially inside the 10-yard line. You know, you thought that Christian McCaffrey went into a terrible situation, and voila. You know, he winds up being one of the best running backs in the NFL. Things happen.
Hold
you
on,
don't know what's going on in organizations. You know, for all we know, you know, like I said, maybe in this case the Packers are going to let you know, one of those guys go, so when you have a backup, maybe, you know, they feel like they could, you know, the Baltimore Ravens just feel like they're going to have people moving on shortly, and they need to make sure that they aren't caught with their pants down.
Well, I got to say two things. So, first of all, what I want to say is that there's just not a lot of easy decisions, not a lot of gimmies. You know, you get a guy like Elliott goes to the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott goes to the Cowboys. Saquon Barkley goes to the Giants. They're gimmies. And you love that if you can get your hands on one of those because that's just easy money. You got to work for it now. There's a lot of guys that went to positions where you got to bet on their talent or you just pick the right guy. You could have three guys that you have kind of even. You pick one, the guy after you picks one, and next thing you know, you know, yours hits or yours misses. What I want to get back to, though, is you have guys like Juju Smith-Schuster is a great example. When he was drafted, he had Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown in front of him. And Bryant at this point, this was before the suspensions, he was looking really, really good. Lots of long touchdowns, great production, Brown Hall of Fame. You're looking at Smith-Schuster and you're going, man, you know, where is this supposed to go? He's going to wait 3 years or more before he even gets meaningful, you know, other than three wide receiver sets, he's going to get meaningful time. 2 years later, he's the number one wide receiver there. So you never know, and that's kind of what I'm saying is that there's – some guys are going to pick up some players because there aren't a lot of gimmies. Guys are going to go out there. They're going to pick players and there's going to be some very successful owners coming out of this draft in dynasty leagues. Going back to Christian McCaffrey though, the stats proved my concern true in the sense that the situation, I never doubted the talent. I actually loved the player, wanted to see him in a Green Bay, New England type offense. I thought it would be incredible. Didn't like him being paired up with Cam Newton, a quarterback who takes a lot of goal line, quarterback who runs a lot. Just didn't like him being with Ron Rivera as the offensive coordinator. And in the first 2 years he was in the league, his stats were good, but nothing really that great. It wasn't until last year Cam Newton got hurt, and all of a sudden McCaffrey explodes. I mean, just absolutely, you're talking like almost 300 yards more rushing, 8 more rushing touchdowns from a receiving standpoint. The guy puts up over 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, he exploded and gone is Cam Newton and eventually gone is Ron Rivera, who I've always believed held the offense down.
But in 2018, he was certainly a top caliber running back.
Oh, he was good, but that's my point. Well, look at what happened when Cam left. He doubled in touchdowns. His yardage went through the roof.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, he got 300 more yards. He actually had less receiving touchdowns than the year before. But I mean, my point is that, you know, when we talk about these draft picks that come out, and you know, we talk about taking time to develop, this is the perfect example. You don't know what happened on Thursday and Friday in 2 or 3 years. What's that guy's situation going to be like? And Christian McCaffrey is a perfect example. Yes, when he was drafted, he came in and he was in a bad situation, but within just 2 years, he went from a bench player that you, or a taxi squad player, to one of the best running backs to have on your team that you can possibly have. And that's one of the reasons why I love dynasty fantasy football more than redraft, is that you find those guys and you're saying to yourself, what's going to happen? What is this team trying to do? What is the possibility that, you know, their quarterback or their running back is going to be moving on or aging or retiring or whatever the case may be. And you know, when you hit, it feels great. When you don't, you don't care. Like you like to say to me all the time, at least you got up to the plate and you took a swing, right?
Big believer in that. Get up there and take your cut. You know, go for the fence. Not going to win a lot of games just shooting for singles. So who do you think's the top pick right now coming out of the draft? So I'm looking at a rundown. Who, dynasty league, fantasy players, what players, even the top five. Who's in the top five?
Well, you got to believe that, you know, Joe Burrow's got to be number one, right? I mean, he's going into a situation that isn't all that terrible. And he seemed to have the skills as a college player, at least. It's one of those things where he's not able to work out. So if this was a normal year, you know, you would be saying, well, maybe, you know, in these months leading up to the mini camps and whatnot, that he could be, you know, practicing and working with somebody, but he can't. But I do have the number one pick in one of my fantasy leagues, and it's about a 98% chance I'm going with Burrow.
So I got two different sites up that I'll tell you what they're saying, but I want to give you a chance to insert. So what's up to five names? Who you think are the top five players, or stop at three, whatever you want.
Okay. Well, to your point, I like, Ruggs out in, Las Vegas now, I guess. Like you said, they don't,
yeah, that's,
you know,
going to get hard to get used to. That's going to be tough to get used to.
Yeah, I know. Well, every once in a while I still call the Chargers San Diego. And are you looking for offense, defense? Doesn't matter.
What I've got, I'll just start sharing it. It's really interesting. So both, these are all drafts that have happened over the past week. And a guy from Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is the number one top guy right now in drafts. So people are all over that Chiefs offense and this running back. Jonathan Taylor going to the Colts is second. DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins comes in third in one. He comes in fourth in the other.
Okay,
Swift
so
is
this
third
is all
in one of them. And then Judy and Lamb round it out. So those are you're roughly your top five right there.
Okay, but that's all offense-oriented. Because there are some pretty good defensive guys that you might want to take a look at. I think Simmons and Chasen are in good situations. Probably Chasen more so than Simmons, but Simmons, I think, is a more talented player.
Is there a player that you're intrigued by? Like, I think the guy that went to Philadelphia, the wideout, Jalen, is it Rieger? Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that. And the guy in Oakland can just flat fly. He's got speed.
Right. I'm counting on him to resurrect Carr's career because I need to hold on to that guy. Justin Jefferson is intriguing to me too. I watched him play last year. I mean, obviously he was on a good team with LSU. The exit of Stephon Diggs means that at least he's going to see the field quite a bit. He could be somebody you want to keep your eye on.
Well, Steve, this was meant to be a short show with just some random thoughts, little kind of warming up and see how we're doing. And I think we proved we still got it. At least, I guess that's probably graded on a curve. As my wife looks at me right now, wondering why she ever married me.
Yeah, she's not the only one. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, well, it's okay. That's totally legitimate.
Whenever you want to do one of these things, always look to get hold of me. If I'm available, I love doing it. Yeah,
I do too. We're back. So thanks for giving it a test with me. Let's go ahead and tie it up, and the next time we'll come in with a little more focus what we're going to talk about, and that is assuming the asteroid doesn't hit the house. So another reason to get the short podcast in, because then we at least did one. But
well,
I'm going to
hopefully
be
the asteroid
hits, dude.
Well, what if the asteroid hits the dumpster and scatters all those shingles all over the place again?
The dumpster's gone now. Well, it can.
Oh, okay.
It can hit the dumpster at the junkyard now, for all I care. It's out of my yard. Now I just have to rake up the pieces and sweep for nails, and we're good to go. Lay down some grass seed. But again, before I go do all that, come on already. If you just hit it already. You know what? We were talking about the media before, getting pissed off about the sob stories. Enough. This is a great example. They don't have anything really to talk about. So now they're going to talk about an asteroid plummeting towards Earth. Give me a break. They track that stuff. They know, if something's coming within, 10,000 miles, as if suddenly this one showed up out of the blue. Oh, shit. I thought that was a spec on my computer screen. Damn it.
Well,
what was that from? Summer Rental? John Candy? It was a fly on his screen, and he thought it was a plane?
Yeah. And at the rate that things are going in a couple of months here, we're going to get reports of locusts or something frogs raining down or sulfur and brimstone. I don't know what's going on, man.
Yeah. God. Well, let's go ahead and hit the close. Let's do it. So
right.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you, everybody,
for
joining us for this. Thanks for enduring our test run as we come back. So let's go a little larger than life as we close it out. Take care. Hey, you could be larger than life, bigger than the world, living out the hopes and dreams of every boy and every girl. You could fly higher than the sky, shine brighter than the stars. You could have all you ever wanted, shoot the moon and reach the Mars. You know you're cool. That's going to do it for today's show. Well, I always say you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You can contact me via email at Gureski1@yahoo.com. That's Gureski and the number 1@yahoo.com. It's @ Rick Gureski to follow me on Twitter. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. This has been another Fat Guy with a Phone production.